This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited to introduce to you from the great state of Texas, Donald Brown. Here's Donald.
Again. Only let him see you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God once again for each of you today. I want to especially praise God for our dear friend and pastor Dale and his wife Jean Gentry. I want to again say that if any of you that desire to have these teachings, you can contact Rick Gentry at BPN Radio, or you can call Rick at 214-918-8707. But we're asking you to begin to subscribe to our podcast. And once again, you can contact Rick Gentry, BPN Radio, at gmail.com. Continuing our series on battling unbelief, I want to talk with you today along the lines of battling the unbelief of covetousness. And I want to use 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. Because that I believe that my goal that I have for us in this series of messages is to fix in our minds permanently this truth. And the way to fight sin in our lives is to battle unbelief. And the way to pursue righteousness and holiness and love is to fight the fight of faith. So the three reasons, at least, that I have this goal for us is, number one, the necessity of perseverance for salvation. And first, according to Hebrews 12:14, there is a holiness without which we will not see the Lord. And there are professing Christians who live such a disobedient lives that they'll hear Jesus saying, according to Matthew 7:23, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers." You see, there are church-attending people who believe they are saved because they prayed to receive Jesus once, not realizing that the proof of the genuineness of that prayer is perseverance. And as Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, he said, "He who endures to the end will be saved." Paul says to professing believers, "If you live according to the flesh, you will die," according to Romans 8:13. So I don't want to be a part of BPN or Don and Janice Brown ministry for 10 or 20 or even 30 years and then spend eternity in hell because I never learned to fight the fight of faith and perseverance and holiness. And that's the first reason I'm preaching this series. And two, the wrong way to pursue holiness. That's the second reason, is that there's a way to pursue holiness that backfires and leads to death. What a tragedy if we would, or if we could persuade you from Scripture that there's a holiness without which we'll not see the Lord, only to have you start fighting for it in a way that is denounced in Scripture and doomed to failure. Now, in Romans 9:31 says that Israel, even though she pursued the law of righteousness, didn't attain that law. Well, why? Because she didn't pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works, which it isn't. Practically, daily righteousness is attained when the law is pursued by faith, not by works. You see, works is the warfare of righteousness, unempowered by faith in the satisfying and liberating promises of God. So, the second reason I'm preaching this series is that I'm so concerned that we learn to fight for holiness by faith and not by works. And third, God's glory in our perseverance. So, The third reason for the series is that I want God to be glorified in our pursuit of holiness and righteousness and love. But God is not glorified in our pursuit unless we are empowered by faith in his promise. And so, unless we learn how to fight the fight of faith, we may achieve remarkable religious and moral heights, but not for God's glory. You see, he is glorified when he is trusted, according to Romans 4:20. He is glorified when the power to be holy comes from our delight in his promise. Martin Luther spoke on these great truths. He said, faith honors him whom it trusts with the most reverent and highest regard, since it considers him truthful and trustworthy. You see, there is no other honor equal to the estimate of truthfulness and righteousness with which we honor him whom we trust. And when the soul firmly trusts God's promise, it regards him as truthful and righteous, and whatever else should be ascribed to God. So the very highest worship of God is this, that we ascribe to him truthfulness, righteousness, and whatever else should be ascribed to one who is trusted. You see, that's freedom of a Christian. And so my great desire in these series is that we learn how to live for God's honor, and that means living by faith in God's promises. And that means battling unbelief in all the different ways it rears its head in our hearts, including covetousness. So let's look at the definition of covetousness. And today I want to focus on battling the unbelief of covetousness. And I think our text in 1 Timothy makes clear what covetousness is, and that the battle against it is a battle against unbelief, or a fight for faith in the promises of God. The word covetous, it isn't used here, but the reality is what this text is all about. You see, when verse 5, the latter part, says that some are treating godliness as a means of gain, Paul responds in verse 6 that there is great gain in godliness with contentment. See, this gives us the key to the definition of covetousness. Covetousness is desiring something so much that you lose your contentment in God. And there is great gain in godliness with contentment. You see, covetousness is desiring something so much that you lose your contentment in God. Now, the opposite of covetousness is contentment in God. When contentment in God decreases, covetousness for gain increases. And that's why Paul says in Colossians 3:5 that covetousness is idolatry. Put to death what is earthly in you: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You see, it's idolatry because the contentment that the heart should be getting from God, it starts to get from something else. So covetousness is desiring something so much that you lose your contentment in God, or losing your contentment in God so that you start to seek it elsewhere. Now, have you ever considered that the Ten Commandments begin and end with virtually the same commandments? According to Exodus 20:3, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And in Exodus 20:17, it says, "You shall not covet." Almost equivalent commands. See, coveting is desiring anything other than God in a way that betrays a loss of contentment and satisfaction in him. Covetousness is a heart divided between two gods. So Paul calls it idolatry. So let's look at how we flee covetousness. Now, what Paul is doing in 1 Timothy 6:6-12 is trying to persuade people not to be covetous. But let's be real sure that we see how Paul understands this battle against covetousness. He gives his reasons for not being covetous in verse 6 through 10, which we'll come back to. And then in verse 11, he tells Timothy to shun or to flee all that, to flee the love of money and the desire to be rich, namely covetousness. And he says in verse 11, the latter part of it, he said, instead of giving in to covetousness, aim at righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Then out of that list, he picks faith for special attention and says in verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. So in essence, then he says, flee covetousness, fight the good fight of faith. So in other words, the fight against covetousness is nothing other than the fight of faith. And this is one of the clearest proof that the way to obey the Ten Commandments, one of which is thou shalt not covet, is by faith. It's also proof that covetousness is a state of unbelief. You see, when you think about it, that's just what the definition of covetousness implies. We said that covetousness is desiring something so much that you lose your contentment in God, or it's losing your contentment in God so that you start to seek contentment elsewhere. But now this contentment in God is just what faith is. You see, Jesus said in John 6 and 35, he says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, what it means to believe in Jesus is to experience him as the satisfaction of your soul's thirst and your heart's hunger. Faith is the experience of contentment in Jesus. So the fight of faith is the fight to keep your heart content in Christ, to really believe, keep on believing that he will meet every need and satisfy every longing. Well, covetousness, then, is exactly the opposite of faith. It's the loss of contentment in Christ so that we start to crave other things to satisfy the longings of our heart. There's no mistaking, then, that the battle against covetousness is a battle against unbelief and a battle for faith. And whenever we sense the slightest rise of covetousness in our hearts, we must turn on it. Fight it with all our might, with the weapons of faith. So let's talk about these warnings against covetousness. It's the main weapon of faith is the word of God. So when covetousness began to raise its greedy head, what we must do is begin to preach the word of God to ourselves. We need to hear what God is saying. We need to hear his warnings about what becomes of the covetousness and how serious it is to covet. And we need to hear his promises that can give great contentment to the soul and overcome all covetousness cravings. One, covetousness never brings satisfaction. According to Ecclesiastes 5 and 11, it says that he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with gain. This also is vanity. You see, the fight of faith is the fight to keep your heart content in Christ. This is God's word on money. It doesn't satisfy those who love it. And if we believe him, we will turn away from the love of money. It's a dead-end street. And Jesus put it like this in Luke 12 and 15. It says, beware of all covetousness, for a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. If the word of the Lord needs confirming, there are enough miserable rich people in the world to prove that satisfied life doesn't come from having things. And two, covetousness chokes off spiritual life. And Jesus told the parable of the soils in Mark 4, 1 through 20, and said that some seed fell on among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And then he interpreted the parable and said that the seed is the word of God. The seed sown among thorns is interpreted like this: the cares of the world and the delight in riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. You see, a real battle wages when the word of God is preached. The desire for other things can be so strong that the beginnings of spiritual life can be choked out altogether. This is such a frightful warning that we should all be on our guard every time we hear the word to receive it with faith and not choke it with covetousness. And three, covetousness gives rise to many other sins. In 1 Timothy 6 and 10, Paul says, the love of money is the root of all evils. And in James 4 and 2, he says, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and wage war. You see, covetousness is a breeding ground for a thousand other sins. And they heighten the warning to flee from it and fight it with all our might. Covetousness lets you down when you need help most. It lets you down in the hour of death. 1 Timothy 6 and 7 says, we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. You see, at the greatest crisis of your life, when you need contentment and hope, security more than any other time, your money and all your possessions take wings and fly away. They let you down. They are fair weather friends at best. And you enter eternity with nothing but the measure of contentment that you had in God. If you drop dead right now, would you take with you a payload of pleasure in God, or would you stand before him with the spiritual cavity where covetousness used to be? You see, covetousness lets you down just when you need help the most. You see, covetousness destroys the soul. 1 Timothy 6 and 9 says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plague men into ruin and destruction. And in the end, covetousness destroys the soul in hell. So the reason I'm sure that this destruction is not some temporary financial fiasco, but final destruction in hell, is that Paul says in verse 12 that covetousness is to be resisted with the fight of faith. And then he adds, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession. What's at stake is fleeing covetousness, and fighting the fight of faith is eternal life, according to 1 Timothy 6 and 19. So you'll enter eternity with nothing but the measure of contentment that you had in God. So verse 9 isn't saying that greed can mess up your marriage or your business, which it certainly can, but it's saying covetousness can mess up your eternity with ruin and destruction. Or as verse 10 says it at the end, it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. Literally, it says impale themselves with many pangs. So you see, God has gone the extra mile in the Bible to warn us mercifully that the idolatry of covetousness is a no-win situation. It's a dead-end street in the worst sense of the word. It's a trick. It's a trap. So my word to you is the word of 1 Timothy 6 and 11. Flee from it. And when you see it coming in a TV ad or Christian catalog or a neighbor's purchase, run from it the way you would run from a roaring lion, escape from the zoo, and starving. So you may say, well, where do you run? Well, you run to the arsenal of faith and quickly take the mantle of prayer from Psalms 119 and 36. Throw it around yourself. O Lord, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to worldly gains. And then, quickly, you take down two cutlasses, a short one and a long one, specially made by the Holy Spirit to slay covetous. You stand your ground at the door. When he shows his deadly face, you show him the shorter cutlass. According to 1 Timothy 6 and 6, there's great gain in godliness with contentment. Great gain, great gain. Stay where you are, lion of covetous. I have great gain in God. That is my faith. Then, before he has time to attack, take the longer cutlass according to Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you nor forsake you. Hence, we can confidently say, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Drive it home. Do exactly what Paul says to do in Colossians 3 and 5. Put covetous to death. See, brothers and sisters, all covetous is unbelief. Learn with me how to use the sword of the Spirit to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Let us pray. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You've been listening to Donald Brown today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. Sure appreciate everybody listening today. Thank you.